Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Dominic DeCastro, and you are tuning in to the What's in Your Case podcast. Our guest today is a Sacramento-based songwriter and artist, writing to feed his soul and put his mind at ease with the goal of creating good vibes and free expression. Not only are they a musician, performer, writer, and producer, but also an advocate for other artists. My guest today, Four-Eyed Whale.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So tell me more about the origins of your artist name. Is it because you're crazy about whales? How did you become Four-Eyed Whale?
It was never an infatuation with the sea-dwelling mammal. Long story short, I was playing in a band and my bandmates took our band name. So I was in the process of trying to come up with something new. And we were playing at a sort of Battle of the Bands-esque thing for a few months in a row. And each time I got off stage, the first thing that someone said to me is, "Man, you can really wail." And I was like, I got to do something with that. And I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I had a few ideas that were semi-related to Four-Eyed Whale, similarly came off the tongue, but it just sort of came to me one day. And I always liked a lot of my ability to meditate in the moment with that has influenced my ability to be successful as an artist. When I was young, I bought some turntables. I must have been like 12 or 13. And my mother gave me her whole record collection. And at that point, I was already dabbling into that music, but it was mostly late 60s, early 70s. A lot of funk, a lot of blues. My probably all-time favorite songwriter is Stevie Wonder, and he's a major influence on me. So that period of music, for sure. I also have a lot of influences through many decades, but that particular nugget of American music specifically always resonated a lot with me.
And as I was combing through your profile, one thing that I liked was April 28th, 2020, you had this whole post paying tribute to the laptop that was a big part of your early music career. You credited it to recording two of your singles, as well as helping you hone your skills through countless hours together. You said that accidents happen, but what exactly happened with that laptop?
It's interesting you bring that up because I circumstantially just released a song that was one of the only things I was able to pull off of that laptop before it was gone for good. I had it for about 10 years and did my home recording projects on it. And as you mentioned in the post, I learned a lot just using that particular device. It was an early MacBook Pro. And basically, I was collaborating with a new musician who was a friend of mine. And we were in the moment and excited and building an idea. At the time, I was doing a lot of live looping, usually in something like GarageBand or what have you, so that I could get ideas to him and he could play guitar along to it. And I got really excited and I turned and I'd already committed a cardinal sin by bringing a beverage into the studio with me. And I proceeded to knock that beverage over onto my laptop and I fried my laptop. I quickly grabbed an external hard drive and attempted to back everything up. And quite a bit of it seems to be intact. But the long story short, I basically destroyed that computer. And right before that session with my friend that I subsequently asked to leave because I was about to have a panic attack for destroying my computer, I had done a bounce of a song that I had been working on and mixing and hoping to get it mastered. And it ended up being the only access I had to all the songs on the hard drive. And I let it sit on that hard drive for about 6 years. And one day I listened to the bounce and decided it was good enough and had a friend master it and released it a few weeks ago.
Nice. So we can credit it to three of your singles.
Yes, we can now. You're right. And hopefully more if I can keep digging through the hard drive, but it might take some time.
And this also might be a good time for me to ask this question since we're on the subject, but I'm not sure if you know, but I have this question that I like to ask a lot of my musical guests. Do you name your instruments? And if so, what are their names?
No, I don't think I actively do. I think there's been times where I might have had a nickname for a device. When I was young, I used to name my cars and stuff, but I honestly don't think I name my instruments.
We are 1-1 this year for for instruments being named.
If I look around, I'm sitting in my home studio right now. If I look around, I'd need a whole preschool docket of names. Like there's a lot of instruments in this room. So maybe that's why I shy away from it, because it's too many names to keep track of.
So I've seen that you made a few posts about you busking. And I know for one of your posts, you mentioned that Explore Midtown had a program that invited you out to busk. But outside of that, Did you ever get into just personal busking?
In Sacramento, not as much, other than that intentional placing of musicians to busk and play original tunes, sometimes covers, but mostly originals.
And when it comes to busking, is there certain restrictions or guidelines that you have to follow to set something up like that?
Certainly get chased away, because if you don't have permitting, you're technically not really, I don't know, supposed to. I never had that many issues with that, but yeah, you're allowed to do that until someone tells you you're not allowed to do it, I guess.
August 17th, 2021. It looks like that was your first post about Two Riversider. You were performing at an open mic hosted by Austin Blatchard. From this point, it seems like you've really made Twin Riversider your kind of home away from home. I just wanted to mention that because, as I mentioned earlier, you are an advocate for other artists, and you are the main host for a weekly event called Local Sounds that you established October 2022.
Yeah, we'd already been coming to Two Rivers quite a bit because it was kind of a neighborhood spot we were familiar with. And I'm not sure if I had played there before that particular post you're mentioning, but that might have been the first time I had some content and tagged them and stuff like that. As I said, it was already kind of in our neighborhood a few blocks away. And then subsequently, my wife and I bought our first home, which is two blocks away from Two Riversider. So same neighborhood we already in, but we moved much closer and it became what we often refer to as our third home. It was sort of our community center because it was so close by and so many of our neighbors and friends and etc. were hanging out there on the daily. And I just really liked the space. I always felt very comfortable as a musician to express myself freely and try new ideas. I was experimenting a lot as a musician at the time, particularly with loop stations, which became a big part of my journey from that time forward. I felt comfortable enough to share with people. And so that feeling was easy for me to latch onto. And I formed a pretty solid connection with the owner, Vince, and actually even worked there for a while. For whatever reason, I got this idea to branch off a little bit from what an open mic might be and give people a little more time and a little more ability to feature their content. And Local Sounds was quickly born, and it's just sort of skyrocketed ever since. As you mentioned, I'm the host. I was the host every week for the first like 13 months. In the last 2 months, I've been utilizing a lot of guest hosts just so I could reclaim a bit of my time as well as focus on other projects and things like that.
And how would someone apply to be a part of the Local Sounds?
They can just contact me directly. I still do all the booking for it and manage it myself. And so they can find me on Instagram, is one of the spaces, I guess, social media spaces that I'm the most active. And I do manage most of Local Sounds bookings through Instagram. But they could also just come out to Two Rivers and check out the show and see if it vibes with them and something they want to do and just simply approach me. I love someone to come up and shake a hand and introduce themselves and let me know that they're excited about being a part of it and that that's really all that it takes.
June 2023, you also kicked off a new live music series that you called Wind Down Sundays at Nico Wine. In your post, you mentioned featuring two local musicians that are ready to bring you the sunny patio energy. What is your definition of sunny patio energy?
Just good vibes. You know, it's not necessarily always about happy-go-lucky positive music because some people have stronger messages to share than that, but it's more about the way that they deliver that message. And Nico's a very cool, calm, casual space. I just wanted musicians that knew how to slide right into that, keep folks engaged, but also know how to be in the background in a way as well to allow customers to still communicate and have a good time. So it's, you know, sometimes it's folk music, sometimes it's hip hop, but it's always this casual, confident sort of vibe that I guess you could apply to anything. You could be at a backyard barbecue with the same kind of music. You could be really anywhere that you'd want to be on a Sunday and invoke that same sort of feeling in a park, at the beach. So I'm looking typically for musicians and experiences for the clientele there that sort of brings that sensory experience where everyone enjoys the music. They're also able to tune it out if they so choose to do that, but it's something there to elevate their experience.
And I know November of last year was the last performance for the season, but I haven't seen any posts about them lately. Are the Wind Down Sundays still an active thing?
The idea was always that we would ramp it back up again in spring of this year. I'm hoping early April at the latest is when we'll start booking for that. But ultimately, we got rained out about 3 weeks in a row, and it was getting colder and getting darker. So for the season, it didn't really make sense anymore because it is an outdoor performance space. And so we decided to, like you said, cut it for the season in November, but always with the intention to bring it back as soon as the weather permitted.
And lately, the weather has not been very permitting.
No, we did get that one weekend, like I said, where Nico got so excited that he was trying to get me to play or book some people. And I was like, well, before we start booking again and the rains kick us every weekend for a few more weeks, why don't we just book a DJ and this and that? So there may be some pop-up shows at Nico if we get lucky and have some beautiful weather, and I'll throw together some last-minute stuff. But I'm definitely hoping to be active starting in early April through whenever the season comes to a close again.
All right. Now let's take a little peek at your discography. December 21st, 2016, you released the single Nothing Is Lost. Now, this is the first song on your Spotify. What type of promotions did you do to promote your single release?
It was mostly word of mouth at that point in time. I was, you know, using social media in probably a much more limited capacity back then. So a lot of it was done by way of face-to-face communication, text, email, phone calls, just to let people know that I finally have published something that's available for you on a streaming service. I know I've paid for like one or two Instagram ad campaigns over the last decade. I don't know if it happened on Nothing Is Lost or not. I can't say that for sure. I didn't do a ton of promo with that.
And the album art was made by an artist, That Color of Glass, on Instagram. Do you normally team up with local artists when you commission your album arts?
I do try to collaborate with other artists anytime I can for really anything artistic. I'm really excited about art inspired by other art. So there's an image floating around that a friend of mine made, and he made it the first time that he listened to that song, Nothing Is Lost. And so that's an awesome piece of art that I hope to use for album art in the future if he signs off on that. But the one that you're referencing, his name is Alex. He's a very good friend of mine, and he was actually one of the first really strong collaborators that helped to push me forward with the Four-Eyed Whale journey. And I'd played with some other people before Alex under that band name or artist name. But when he and I met, things really took off. And I wrote that song with him. And he's also a visual artist. He paints and he draws. And he made that painting pretty much overnight. Once we were done mastering the song and we're getting ready to release it, he wanted to do the album art. And so he did a painting, and then we used that for the release. He also did the artwork for The Arranger, which was my second release.
Yes, The Arranger was released December 6, 2019. And this one was 3 years between releases. Originally, I wrote that this was the last song recorded on your old laptop, but recently released a new one. But this was right before everything shut down, right before COVID became a bigger thing. Did the pandemic affect the way that you were able to promote or play this song? Or do you think you could have had more of an impact to promote your song because of the pandemic? Like the creativity that everyone went through to find different opportunities to promote?
I think there was definitely a pivotal time for me as far as digging in more on social media and being willing to share my art and my music and things like that. I don't know whether I would have done things much differently with The Ranger, whether COVID did or didn't happen, but the kind of turning inward aspect of it by initially being quarantined, but also just generally sticking to home for a long time. We had a newborn at the time as well, so we were being pretty cautious and I was home a lot. And so I did take a pretty deep dive into a lot of different artistic things, photography, visual art, really anything that inspired me. And I think that that period of time of learning a bunch of new songs to cover to send videos to my friends because I was bored, like just the way that I was working as a musician in that free time that I had, I think was very influential for the time that came after that. So I think I'm grateful for that period of time for that reason. It caused me to trust in myself and to learn new things and to challenge myself. I definitely can think back on that time fondly. I don't know that I could say I would have necessarily done it any differently, though.
October 28th, 2022, you released the single Down in the Cellar. And I know you talked about it a bit on Nine Fingers podcast, but could you tell my listeners how Down in the Cellar came to be?
The cellar was my home studio at the time. It was actually in a garage. The lower level of our home in San Francisco was a garage, and so I quarantined about of it for my home studio and rehearsal space and stuff like that. The song itself, I basically was seeing the same numbers over and over again, patterns of numbers, and the numbers that I was seeing the most were a lot of ones repeated. And so I checked in with a couple of friends of mine that are, you know, self-proclaimed numerologists, and just sort of asked them about what do these numbers mean and why am I seeing this so much. And basically my friend, who was a collaborator at the time and we still work together periodically, he basically said to me, hang up the phone and go start writing right now. The numbers I was seeing, which was typically three ones at a time, sometimes four ones, is considered the number of the angels, or one of the numbers of the angels, and usually indicates that you stand a chance, if you realize it at the moment, to sort of be a vessel for creativity, because you're sort of being shined upon by the spirit world and getting a pat on the back to let you know that now is the time to pursue those things. So my friend told me to start writing, and then I looked up what it meant, and I was like, okay, so I guess I really need to start writing, because tell me something. And so I sort of just started writing about seeing these numbers, or seeing patterns, seeing a reason to be creative, to be challenged, to not let that creativity slip away. And again, the studio space was called the cellar, but in a sort of an analogy type of way, it was me pushing to myself and to any potential listeners, you know, I do to store things away deep down somewhere that I can bury them and not have to share them with anyone. And sometimes that's my emotions or my state of being, but it's oftentimes my creativity. And it's not always done intentionally, but I am prone to creating really cool things and then stashing them away where nobody can find them. And so I was sort of indirectly calling that place the cellar as well within the song. It's this, I keep things tight and safe and no one can see them. And it was an indirect and also very direct challenge to myself to stop doing that and to share more often.
And finally, February 14th, 2024, you released the single Callboy, which we found out was the latest song to be pulled off of your laptop.
Indeed. I kind of forgot that I'd done the bounce and that I was excited about the bounce at one point. And I was playing some shows, and speaking of Nine Fingers, I was actually playing a show down in Lodi with Tyler Vernon and the one they call Nine Fingers. And on my drive home after that show, I was just sort of having an aha moment with myself and a bit of a reality check. And I listened through some of these files I keep stored away on my device. And I had that bounce of Callboy. And I'm like, you know what? This is great, potentially, depending on the listener's opinion. And I don't need to let perfect be the enemy of great here. Why am I still holding on to this? I need to get rid of this song. And I'm definitely in a space where I'm trying to shed creative weight. So that's a way that I felt like I could do that, as well as some other songs I listen to on that drive, which will hopefully be coming out soon as well. I had a WAV file. It was that bounce that I had done either just before my computer crashed or right after I crashed it. And I was able to get this lovely little WAV file that sat on a hard drive forever. And I asked my friend Three Arm Bandit if he thought that he could master it with just that. And he agreed to do that. So I brought it to his studio. We had some guide tracks just sort of for reference for him of what I wanted it to sound like in the final master pass. And he worked his magic. And within about an hour and a half, it was more than content with what it sounded like, and decided that day that I would get the DistroKid account set up and get it published. And about a week later, it was released.
It's funny that you mentioned that. There's a lot of musicians that you've involved yourself with that have numbers in their name as well.
Oh yeah. It's kind of an endless thing. And there's a bit of a joke because Dave, the Three-Armed Bandit, is in a group that they tell me they started specifically for local sounds because they wanted to play there. And that group is called Five Wild Hares. So we've got five, we've got three, we've got nine, we've got four. There's probably some other. Oh, Dave and I have a side project called Level 12. So yeah, I definitely have, I guess I have an obsession with numbers and music.
And if you'd like to hear more of Four-Eyed Whale's songs, I know that you had just released a video on YouTube for the Tiny Desk contest. I've meant to say, it looks like that was your second entry for the Tiny Desk contest. Is there, I mean, obviously everyone wants to win, but is there more of a reason to enter every year?
At this point, I think because I did it last year, once I did it, it was like, okay, well, well, now I should just do it. Like, I've done it. I'm not going to say it's easy, because there's challenges to those sorts of things always, and there's a challenge to sharing your art, but the process got done. I did it. I can do it. And if I want to be a part of that, then that's something every year to shoot towards. It challenges me to find a song I feel like sharing that feels appropriate for that space or in the space that I'm in at the time. And I don't know. I just feel like, especially in Sacramento, there's an awesome music scene here, to say the very least. And there's a ton of people that submit to Tiny Desk in the Sacramento music scene. So it's, I think, just for the sake of that, like, just contributing to that energy that we're all creating together of being willing to share our art and to do so in a collaborative way and in a cohesive way that supports each other. Of course, I do hope to win that. And I think Cap Radio is an affiliate station, so maybe they do a Sacramento special. Not like I'm dropping hints for them, but, you know, there's so many artists in SAC that are creating great music and submitted to that contest that I just figured there's no reason that I shouldn't be a part of that. It felt like a right thing to do again this year. I had to cram a bit to get it done, but I'm certainly happy that I did it, and I'm excited to do so again next year if a contest still exists.
And now for the most important question so far, how do you have time to balance everything that you're doing?
I don't know.
I know you had mentioned having a few of your friends in the music scene kind of guest host for Local Sound so you can have more time for your projects. But aside from that, you juggle quite a bit.
Yeah, I've always liked to stay busy. This has been a little different. The last 2 years or so has been quite a challenge in keeping the focus. And actually, when our call's done, I need to go make a flyer for Local Sounds. But it's like, it keeps me going, man. It gives me something to focus on every week. Like, there are weeks where burnout's a real thing, but I keep meeting awesome people that want to collaborate and want to hang out and want to create beautiful things. And it's nearly impossible for me to say no to that. I do need to be smart about it and keep my sanity and keep my family content with me as well. It keeps me going. And without it, I don't feel as good. Like, I'm not myself if I'm not playing music. And having so many people around that want to keep this momentum going and want to keep building upon that, I think that's part of what has helped to keep pushing me forward. Local Sounds was such an instant success, and it has so much to do with the people that are involved in that and the people that I've been able to surround myself with and that they surround themselves with, and it just keeps incubating and growing. And so that energy alone was enough to keep me pushing for a long time. And then, you know, at some point I burnt out a tiny bit, so switched things up a little. But I just feel like I owe it to myself and I owe it to the people that appreciate good music to keep pushing and to keep being busy and have things to share, because it feels like a bit of a responsibility at this point. So try to, I guess, honor those responsibilities.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on the What's in Your Case podcast. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or just tell the listeners where they can find your content?
Sure. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. It's been great speaking with you. Shout out to the listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you supporting independent musicians, independent podcasts, and just your fellow human. If you'd like to check out my music, like I said earlier in the podcast, you can find me on Instagram as Four-Eyed Whale. Spell it out, Foureyedwhale. And that's most streaming services, most social media platforms, I go by Four-Eyed Whale. I am in the midst of getting some new music ready to release, past the recent release of Callboy, which you can find on your streaming platforms. I've got some instrumental music that's essentially MIDI orchestra that I'll be releasing soon. Have some collaborations with some hip-hop artists that I'll be working with. I have a side project called Level 12 with my good buddy Three Arm Bandit, and we're going to be playing some shows pretty soon. So follow me on Instagram so you can find out the upcoming gigs, because right now my calendar's purposely a little bit empty. What else? I think that might be it. I'm starting to produce a song for a local artist, and hopefully they'll be able to release that song soon. I don't want to share too much because it's kind of a special little secret, but keep your eyes peeled for me getting producer notes on some people's tracks because I've been busy. Yeah, I appreciate the time and thanks for listening.